I'm here with singer-songwriter Fiona Dickinson, who will be playing Friday, October 10th at Louis Trophy House in Kalamazoo, along with Caitlin Rose. And who else are you playing with, Fiona?
A musician from Columbia, Missouri called Ray Fitzgerald.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So one thing that I found really fascinating is that you've lived in Michigan for 10 years, but you've also lived in England, you've lived in Scotland, you've lived in Saudi Arabia. You know, talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, I've been in Michigan a bit longer now, so this is sort of my home base. But my dad was in aviation, and both my parents are from the UK. And through his position of aviation, we did a lot of moving. So I was born in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, and moved around quite a bit within the UK as well, and then back out to the Middle East, to Qatar, and back to the UK. So that's really, I suppose I'm a military brat as well, because he was in the RAF. But at some point we moved to Michigan and decided to stay for once, because it's just so, you get all four seasons here, and there's something special about the Mitten State, I suppose.
So when did you move to Michigan? How old were you?
2000. And I'm 25 right now, about to be 26. So this, it sort of has felt like I've grown up in Michigan at this point, which is nice.
What was it like living that kind of transient life as a kid?
I think it's something that's enjoyable when you're younger, and it's exciting. And it also helps you, I mean, living somewhere where the law is Islam. And then going back to the UK, where there's a lot of British tradition, which is just based off of Christianity and the Protestant church. So it's interesting having these very almost complete opposite cultures. I think that forces you to be open-minded, which is a good thing to instill in your children, I suppose. So I think that has allowed me to really open myself up to a lot, and that includes art and music, just open myself up to whatever it is out there and just soak it up.
You collaborate on so many people's work,
right?
here in Kalamazoo. And you know, why is that important to you as a musician?
I think if I have to be honest with myself, some of that is distracting myself from the hardest task at hand, which is writing a second album. But it's also, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, and I feel happiest when I'm collaborating with other people. And so just being able to have that connection to the Double Felix Collective, where it's a group of musicians, these are all musicians that I met at the Strut, which was sort of my home base as a musician, and just being able to again drop myself into an environment of some band where I never would come up with that genre or that style on my own, but I'm adapting and I'm learning when I'm playing with them.
Do you have an example?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of noise bands that I've played with. And for anyone listening that doesn't know what noise is, I'll just say art is weird sometimes. And noise music is very avant-garde and very strange, and it's not for everyone. And one of my first recording sessions, recording for a noise project, was me being recorded in a bathroom, basically screaming while inhaling into a sink, and that was being recorded through very strange pedals. So that's a funny gig to be called up, and you're being asked to do vocals, but these aren't vocals I've ever done before. It's not classical singing. It's not even straightforward rock and roll singing, but screaming into a sink through weird pedals.
I'm really interested to hear what that sounds like now.
And it doesn't sound what you think it sounds like. And I think that's the funny thing about avant-garde musicians, is they'll do very strange things through pedals. And it'll create this completely alien sound that human ears aren't used to hearing, but that's what sparks your attention in the record that you're listening to.
Now, you also claim to have a little bit of an experimental bent, too, in your vocals.
Yeah, I suppose so. I'm fortunate that both of my parents are huge music lovers, and my dad has always been particularly fond of female vocalists that have something very unique and weird about their voice. So I grew up with a lot of Nina Simone and Billie Holiday and a lot of Bjork, huge amount of Bjork, and Beth Gibbons from Portishead. And these are all musicians that I love, but I completely understand why someone wouldn't like their voice, because it's not necessarily nice to hear those vocals. But there's something very raw and powerful about it, and that's something I've always connected to and something I've always tried to bring out myself.
Right, and you can kind of hear it in your vocals, that sort of almost a Portishead kind of feel. Not quite, it's very different still, but that sort of, I guess, experimental yet very melodic and mm-hmm. very, you know, almost jazz-like, very smooth.
Right, yeah, and that's nice to hear. But I think I never like anything to be too pristine or too beautiful. And I think when you can put something really lush and gorgeous, which I do like using a lot of reverb, and strings are beautiful. So adding violins and cellos is really beautiful. And pairing that with a very soft coo in a vocal, and then suddenly breaking into something that's maybe not exactly in key, and maybe the voice is breaking a bit, but it's powerful then, and the beautiful parts feel more beautiful next to something that's perhaps a bit scary.
I heard that on your latest album, which we have in front of us, Duende, you actually did quite a bit of learning and experimenting, trying to get the instruments to sound the way that you want them, and also some instruments that you hadn't worked as much with before. Talk about those.
Let me open this up and let's look back at what I did. So I am trained on cello, and I suppose I'm pretty seasoned on guitar and vocals. And I think on stringed instruments, you don't have to work too hard to sort of wrap your head around how stringed instruments work, if you have the training on at least one of those. But when it comes to percussion, I'm not good at percussion at all. I think it's mathematical, and I'm not particularly mathematical in my head. I played flute randomly on this album, and I don't know how to play flute. I figured out how to do the that you is required to play the flute, but really I was just finding a sound on that sounded good to me, a sound that I needed for the record, and I used it. But I'm sure any flautist that would be in the session watching me do that would be quite appalled by just sort of murdering the instrument. But it worked for the album.
Right, you knew what you wanted and you just went after it versus versus hiring a flautist or, you know, just borrowing a flautist.
And we also, and this might upset any pianists out there, but some of the percussion on this album is actually us just putting down the resonator pedal on the piano and just hitting the piano and letting it naturally ring and taking that thud and also the ambient ring of the strings inside.
Now, talking about Double Felix, you recently went on hiatus with your band Cobalt Mexican Wolves, which involves a lot of the members from Double Felix.
Yeah.
Was that a tough decision?
It is, because I think we all really love being in that band. It's an incredibly fun band to be in. It's sort of an influence of Susie and the Banshees and Roxy music and just weird psychedelic dance music. It's really fun, and all of our shows were fantastic. But with Double Felix, it's several of us all in different bands. And so there are members of Birdfingers, they're members of Lasso, they're members of Mirage, members of the Go-Rounds, and we all play in each other's bands, and so it's hard to fully commit yourself to all of these bands, understandably. And I think that's something a lot of us have recognized, is that we just sort of have to pick a project and focus on that. And so I think that's something I've recognized with my music, and also with Mirage sounding like way more concise than it ever has, and Go-Rounds are saying they sound so concise and so good now because it's finally just four musicians and they're doing it just the four of them and really focusing in on that. So it's unfortunate that Cobalt Mexican Wolves isn't happening right now, but I think once people's attentions can come back to that, when we're ready to fully commit to it, then it will be this awesome, concise thing. But I think we just have to wait.
It's for a good cause.
It's for a good cause, yeah. But I still run into people that randomly came to one of our shows, and they don't know me for my solo music. They're just like, you're the girl from Cobalt Mexican Wolves. That band is awesome. When are you playing? And then I have to disappoint them and say, I don't know.
Well, hey, maybe there will be a reunion tour. Who knows?
Oh, I hope so.
You also composed music for a film that I believe is not yet released called Burst Theory. Talk about that a little.
Yeah. So it's funny being a part of a film because I'm learning just how long films take. And unlike blockbusters like Transformers, that goes straight to the theaters. But with a lot of independent films, they get entered into film festivals. And so you cannot officially release a film until you've finished entering it into all of the film festivals. So the film was done at the start of this year, and there was a private premiere, which was really exciting for me to dress up and walk a red carpet. But I'm very anxious for everyone else to see it. But I don't think that can happen until 2015. But it's an interesting film, and the director, he's called Zach Page. He's currently living in Grand Rapids, and he randomly found me, and he wrote this story that's sort of a psychological thriller and basically wanted something that sounded a lot like There Will Be Blood, weird vocals, weird percussion, percussive instrumentation, not straightforward percussion. So I think I fit the bill for that. It was certainly like jumping into the deep end, doing something like that. It's something I've always wanted to do, but have no experience doing. And it actually worked. It worked really well. I'm really happy with it. And I can't wait for everyone else to see it.
What were your goals and ideals? And, you know, how do you think you hit that?
It's funny that I was a huge movie buff, and I really wanted to do something with film when I was a teenager. And I think I even thought about being an actor when I was younger, and then I sort of understood that I wouldn't fit that bill. I don't know, it's a dream I sort of let go, but it's something I've always enjoyed. And so this is an interesting way for me to pick that dream back up, to be involved with film, but in a completely different way than I ever thought I'd be involved with it. And it's really interesting to watch a film without a lot of guidelines in it. We were given a very raw version of the film, and not everything is clearly explained. And you have to be a very empathetic person to really get in the heads of these characters and understand what's actually happening in this scene, and then try and find a way to make a very simple sound that's not too distracting, but it's enough to clarify what is happening in the scene. Because there's a lot of scenes sometimes where there isn't much dialogue, but you just have to feel what's happening. And so that's interesting for me. It's just as a sensitive, empathetic person. And I like when music does that, rather than having lyrics that are very straightforward or dialogue that's very straightforward, just sort of knowing and feeling what is happening.
And that really translates in Duende. You can really, you know, I can't always hear exactly what you're saying in the album. You know, many words are clear, but
yeah, and
you
that
know,
was on purpose. I don't feel very strongly about my capabilities as a lyricist. And I think that's all right. It's a skill I'm developing, but I know my strongest skill is in instrumentation. And I let the instruments do most of the talking, I suppose. I would say it that way.
But the feel really comes across.
Sure.
That's, you know, that's something that's very, I think, striking about the album.
Yeah, and that's sort of why we went with the title Duende, which is an interesting term that it sort of means when you look at a piece of art or when you hear a piece of music or you're watching someone dance, when you have that feeling come up out of your gut, that intense feeling, and it's a complete reaction to a piece of art that you're experiencing, that is Duende. And it like comes from the soles of your feet and comes up through your gut, out your throat, as Lorca would write about it in that way. And so it's a really interesting concept, and I think it's fitting for the album in that way.
You know, there was a time in which it was really difficult, or, you know, in some place it still is difficult, to get booked when you're not with a full band.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's changing? You know, I'm seeing a lot of singer-songwriters who are doing pretty well.
I think, I guess I haven't given it much thought. I guess I can speak for myself and what I've observed of other solo artists. I think people are sort of learning to appreciate the quality of a sound rather than an image of a band. I mean, you can have a lot of people on stage, but are they actually creating something special? And I think more people are recognizing that you don't need a huge band to create a really powerful experience. You don't even need vocals. I mean, I played with a musician called William Tyler a couple of years ago, and he just does guitar. He just plays guitar, and everyone in the room was completely enthralled and connected with what he was doing. And maybe I can't clearly explain what it was that was so magical about that, but there was something that was enough for all of us to feel connected. And I know it was an experience that I felt better about compared to seeing some seven-piece bands that they're all right, but yeah, so maybe it's just sort of the quality over quantity of musicians. There's no point in having someone on stage unless they're actually contributing something special.
So the dreaded question, are you coming out with anything new?
Yes. And that's kind of exciting because I did have a long period of writer's block, and that's why I was sort of throwing myself into session work, just doing a lot of recordings on other people's albums. And finally, in this last year, I've been writing like crazy, and I have all of these demos on my laptop. And I think in a similar way with Duende, I just rented a cabin. There were too many distractions from where I was living. And I just took a week away and finished the foundation and recorded it and then came back. And I think that's probably what will be required. The second one is just, I don't know, maybe I'll go somewhere warmer this time if I can afford it and just flesh it out, get that foundation down when you're away from distractions. But I've also just moved to Grand Rapids, and so there's also this motivation of meeting all of these fantastic musicians up there and seeing what they can throw towards me, and I can eat that up and throw it back at them and come up with something really good. And I've just picked up a second feature-length film that I'm working on. And so that's after last year doing Burst Theory, I'm now doing a project called Bitten Lips, which is an independent film through a Brooklyn-based filmmaker called Tyler Rubenfeld. And I suppose I can't really say too much about it right now because it's in post-production. But once again, I'm very excited for that to reach people's ears.
Can you tell us sort of the genre of the film?
It's dark and weird. Which I think that will be my career. Well, with music is dark and weird.
So, do you have any ideas of, you know, where you want to go with your writing in this next piece that you're working on? You know, anything that you really want to make sure that, you know, this is part of it?
Yeah, I think the first album lacked a lot of percussion and bass. There's a little bit of it on there, but it's in many ways it's more of a classical piece, and I want to do something, I suppose, in some ways stripped back in having two guitars, bass and guitar, but still including all of the weird ambient sounds and the strings. I think that that's always going to have to be there. And I have a drummer in mind that I'm very excited to work with called Brian Vrittman, who has been playing. He's just a really tasteful drummer, which is hard to find sometimes.
Tasteful how?
I think drummers, I think people underestimate drummers' capabilities to just respect the silence. Like, the silence is just as important as a massive hit. And I love drummers that can create that balance of hitting just at the right point, and you don't have to fill every single beat with something loud and bombastic, which sometimes that's fun. But I think with folk music and experimental music, you need to be more tasteful and more sensitive with how you play.
And how do you spell his last name?
Strange Dutch name. I'll have to
write that
up for you.
If you emailed it to me. So I think that's about all that I had. Is there anything that I didn't ask or anything you wanted to talk about?
I guess I could mention that I've been playing a lot with Samantha Cooper. She's a musician who has been collaborating with me since my very first show. She was someone I met through the old time folk scene. I was going to these songwriters in the round, sort of singing from Rise Up Singing, which is a collection of really old folk songs. And she was a fiddle player and great singer. And I was afraid to be on stage by myself when I first started playing shows. So I had her join me. And it's been really great to have her as that support person with my music. And now the tables have turned and she is writing this incredible solo music. And I get to come and play guitar and cello with her, and even get to play harp with her, which I randomly bought this 19-string Pixie harp. And now I get to tell people I'm a harpist, which is really sweet and lovely to be that. But her music, everyone needs to hear her music, which unfortunately there isn't much in terms of recording at this time. But if you ever see her name on a flyer, drop what you're doing and go see her, because it's incredible. And she's so inspiring for me to play with as well. I feel like that's playing with her this last year is really inspiring my second album.
Good. Oh, and just for a bit of context for our listeners, Samantha Cooper is of Bow Hunter,
right,
which is Square Dance Kalamazoo's house band, which has also released their album not too long ago.
Right. And she, I suppose, in many ways, with a lot of Double Felix musicians, has played in a lot of projects. She's just jumping around and doing a lot of traveling and, I don't know, living the dream as a musician.
Well, and I hope you can have the same. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Your show is going to be once again Friday, October 10th at Louis Trophy House in Kalamazoo. All right. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.